All right, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're in a series on encouragement, and today is a topical message within a topical series on the topic of spiritual gifts and how that relates to encouragement. 2 weeks ago, we were in Romans 15, where we looked in Paul's words that he refers to God as the God of encouragement. So there's something encouraging. Our God is a God of encouragement. He doesn't even have to try. I mean, it just comes naturally based on who he is. And we looked at that. Then we were in the book of Acts in chapter 14, where Paul and Barnabas were traveling from city to city, getting themselves in trouble. And then they actually went back to those cities where they were being persecuted. Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. And one of the things they did as they went back to those cities was encourage the believers. That brings us to the title of today's message, Encouragement and Spiritual Gifts, Serving One Another for God's Glory. We're going to look at today on some of the key principles related to spiritual gifts, what they are, and how that relates to encouraging each other, because that's part of why God has given us spiritual gifts, is to build up the body and encourage one another, as we'll see. We're going to be here in 1 Peter 4. And Peter started this chapter off by saying that we should arm ourselves with this mindset. Christ has suffered himself, and God uses suffering to put sin in our lives to death. And then he goes on and says that the end of all things is near. When the Bible talks about the end, it's not first and foremost how close we are to Jesus coming back, but rather because he came the first time. We're in the last days because he came the first time. But as we move forward with each decade and century, we get closer to the end of the end of the age. And because the end of all things is near, Peter says that we should be self-controlled, sober-minded, so that we can pray. Above all else, love one another. Be hospitable. And then we pick up in verse 10. So with the end of all things in near, with prayer, love, and hospitality, he says in verse 10, as each, meaning all of us Christians, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we praise you as the one who is glorifying yourself through your Son and the power of the Holy Spirit, as you work through flawed, broken people like those of us gathered here today. We praise you that you've given each one of us in Christ spiritual gifts. May we have a better understanding of those gifts and how to use them and why. And may we be a body that's encouraged because we gather together and we worship and we work and we witness and we use our gifts so that the body of Christ would be built up. As we seek to reach the lost and become more like Jesus, even as we wait for you, Jesus, to come again. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to kind of look at this in two parts. First, some general themes about spiritual gifts, and then the specifics of what Peter says here in verses 10 and 11. So first of all, God gives all believers spiritual gifts. First part again in verse 10, Peter says, as each has received a gift. If you are a Christian, you have at least one spiritual gift. Paul makes reference to this in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 and verse 11. We'll come to that later. If you're a Christian, you have spiritual gifts. Each one has received a gift. And it's a gift. We don't earn it. We don't go out and buy it. We don't work for it. We do nurture it and develop it. But it's given to us by God. It's part of his grace. In the same way he saved us by grace, he's given us spiritual gifts. He's equipped us and so forth. And there's multiple things that go with that, and let me say a few things with that. First of all, God gives all believers spiritual gifts according to his grace. Okay? Verse 10 again, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. We'll come back to that. As good stewards of God's varied grace. Okay? Each one of us, for a Christian, we've received a gift. We're to use it to serve others. We're to be good stewards of that gift that has come to us by grace. It's a gift, and he has poured out and lavished it upon us. And here Peter calls it a varied grace. And he uses the same word that he uses back in chapter 1 when he talks about, though for a little while you may have gone through various trials, but you are guarded by God's power through faith. And so there's a connection here that, among other things, part of the reason we're given gifts, is varied gifts, is so we can go through the various trials in life. And there's other reasons for it. But God has given us gifts according to his grace. Romans 12, verse 6, Paul says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Part of God's grace is he's given us spiritual gifts. It's according to his grace, and we're to use them. Now, before going on, let me read a few helpful points here from Pastor Juan Sanchez. I think I referenced this several years ago as well, but I want to reiterate it in case any of us forgot it. And also, it's helpful, and he says it better than I do. He's pastor at High Point Baptist Church in Austin, Texas. And the question he's answering is, how do I discover my spiritual gift? So he gives some practical examples. Number one, first, find out what help the body needs. If you're a Christian, you should be part of a local church. Doesn't have to be this one. We love that you're here. But be part of a local church somewhere and serve. Find out what does the body where God has placed you, what are the needs? Because God doesn't just do things randomly. If you're here, God has a purpose for you in your life, but also a purpose for you in what you do in this church. So find out, what does the church that I'm a part of need? Number two, once you see and begin to understand the needs of the body, pray. Pray that God would lead you. And maybe you've been using your gifts and very active in the body, but maybe God has something new for you to do or something different. Or maybe it's time to take a season of rest. But regardless, pray. Look for what the body needs and then pray. A third thing he says is, ask yourself, what do I enjoy doing? There are things in the Christian life we don't enjoy. There are things God calls us to do that we may not be our preference. The ultimate example we see of that is when Jesus prayed, not my will, but your will be done. But there's another side of that coin, and that is that God gives us the desires of our heart. If we set our heart on him, he molds us, and he changes our desires such that they're in line with what he wants us to do and the gifts he's given us. So ask yourself, what do you enjoy doing? That might be an indication of what gifts you have. God is pleased not just when we serve him, but when we do so with joy. Fourth, seek godly counsel. From your elders, from mentors, from small group leaders, and so forth. What do the godly people around you think about you and the gifts you have? Is anyone asking you, would you be willing to serve in this area? Or would you be willing to switch from this to that? And that doesn't mean you should, but pray, consider. What does the godly council around you think? And then the fifth thing he says is, serve, don't just sit there and do something. And it's interesting, this wouldn't just be with spiritual gifts, but part of the way God leads us is as we step out in faith, whether it's spiritual gifts or seeking his will about something in our lives or just growing in the Lord, as we're on the move, God leads and guides us. And sometimes being on the move means we pause and we wait. But overall, we are on a journey. We're pilgrims. We're journeying through this life. So as we do so, be on the move, praying, getting godly counsel, thinking about what your passions are, and looking for the needs of the body, and trust God to lead you. So, thank you, Pastor Juan Sanchez. Now back to the sermon. God gives all believers spiritual gifts according to his grace. And the second thing is under the lordship of Christ. And perhaps here I'm stating the obvious, but this sets the stage for some other things that come up. Because unfortunately, with spiritual gifts, like other things, sometimes the body gets divided over spiritual gifts when it's actually supposed to build us up. Now, that it is a complicated issue because there are different spiritual gifts that are understood different ways how they should be used, and that's not easy. And part of what I think churches need to do is figure out a basic foundation of how we understand spiritual gifts, how we're going to operate, and then say, am I like-minded enough to be part of this church? Am I being built up with in the framework of how this church views spiritual gifts? And different people may find different churches a better fit. So that's important. But ultimately, we should be in a place where the gifts we have and the understanding we have of spiritual gifts, am I in a church that is I can be built up within that understanding and where I can help build others up and where ultimately our spiritual gifts are used in a sense in which we are under Jesus' lordship. He is head of the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says that he has given some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, pastors, and teachers, so that the body of Christ may be built up, so that we can be equipped to do works of service. So it's not just the people in leadership positions, but it's the body as a whole working to build one another up under the lordship of Christ. And part of the way we do that is using our spiritual gifts. Also, God gives believers spiritual gifts through the Holy Spirit. I referenced earlier 1 Corinthians 12. Paul says in verse 7, to each, meaning every believer, to each, to Dan and Kitty and John and Melly and Clarence and Gail, to each, God has given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Here he's referencing gifts as a manifestation of the Spirit. If you have a spiritual gift, it's because the Holy Spirit is at work in you and has he gifted you to do types of works and service for the kingdom. Verse 8, he says, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, knowledge, according to the same Spirit, and so forth. And then he says in verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who appoints to each one individually as he wills. So God gives us spiritual gifts. It's according to his grace. It should be understood that it's under the lordship of Jesus, and it comes through the Holy Spirit. It's a manifestation of the Spirit. When our spiritual gifts are being used, that's part of the way the Spirit is at work. It's not the only way, but it's an important thing. One other thing. That he gives us believers spiritual gifts as interdependent members of one body and for our common good. Again, back to verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Our spiritual gifts are not so that we can just have fun and do what we want and look good and whatever. It is an other-centered, God-glorifying purpose. And that is for the common good, meaning the common good of the body under the lordship of Christ so that God gets the glory. So God gives us believers spiritual gifts as interdependent members. I'll define that in a moment. We're of one body and it's for our common good. Again, in 1 Corinthians 12, moving forward, Paul says, he's talking about spiritual gifts, and then he compares the human body with the body of Christ. He's talking about the hand and the eye and the ear and so forth. Verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And in verse 20, he says, as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Verse 24, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. The body of Christ. Our gifts are for the common good because we're of one body and we're interdependent members, meaning that we're individuals, but we're who are in each Christians, but we're dependent on one another. And it's an interdependence. Amidst our individuality, we have a dependence on one another. We're part of the Evangelical Free Church of America. One of the key themes that they use in our denomination is interdependence. In that, we are a local church who's independent. You choose your pastor, we choose our budget, we choose our leaders, we make decisions, we don't have the denomination coming in and deciding for us. And there's different ways for churches to operate. That's how we operate. We are an independent church. We make those decisions. The highest human authority in our church is the congregation. We have elders and deacons and so forth that we seek to follow their lead. But the highest human authority is the congregation. We seek to be under the ultimate authority, Jesus Christ, as revealed in his word. At the same time, we choose to be part of a movement that's greater than ourselves and be accountable to that movement in terms of its doctrine and its guidance and sometimes seeking help outside and so forth. That's called interdependence. We're an independent church, but we choose to be dependent on a group bigger than ourselves. That helps us think outside of ourselves. It also helps us think globally and support missions. You don't have to operate that way, but that's how we operate. Likewise with spiritual gifts. We are people who are interdependent on one another, and we want to use our gifts. We have different gifts. We need each other. God has designed it, so part of the way we're dependent on him is to recognize not any one of us can do it. We have not only just the body of Christ, we have a plurality of leadership in this church. It's not a pastor ruled. It's not an elder ruled. We have leaders who are to lead us, who we are to obey and follow. Those leaders are to be accountable to the congregation as a whole. Interdependence. And within that big theme is how we use our spiritual gifts. And as we recognize spiritual gifts, as we build up spiritual gifts and so forth, that helps us recognize our interdependence on one another and to use our gifts for the common good, not our own glory, not our own agendas, and so forth. So, God gives us all spiritual gifts. That's enough. Main point number two. Wow, we are making great time. That's excellent. We got back late last night we went out to see my parents and had a great time, and the dog kind of behaved, and my parents live, this really isn't part of the sermon, but I just need a little break. So there's a pasture out past their house, and it's fenced in all the way around except for where there's a creek, so we can take him out there and just let him run. And unless he's going to go, well, even if he goes across the creek, it's fenced in on the other side. And so anyways, it was fun, and we had a great time, but now we're back, and we're at main point number two. Use our gifts to serve one another. Again, verse 10, we're back in 1 Peter 4 now. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. And let me just stop right there. When we think about spiritual gifts, are we using the spiritual gifts God has given us? And do we do so with a mindset, it's to serve the body of Christ that I'm a part of? Is that a servant-hearted mentality? And that certainly goes for people who are not Christian in terms of our spiritual gifts should bless them. But it starts with a blessing for the body of Christ, that the body of Christ would be built up for multiple reasons, one of which so we're better equipped to reach the lost world around us. But when we think about our spiritual gifts, we should be thinking not only what gifts do I have, am I using them, but do I do so with a mentality that I have gifts to serve the body of Christ, to serve each other. All right, so a few thoughts about that. Use our gifts to serve one another, first as good stewards of his varied grace. I touched on this earlier. Let me say a few more words about it. We have spiritual gifts. It comes from God's grace, his varied grace, which again connects with the various trials we go through in 1 Peter 1. And we are to use them as good stewards. This theme Jesus uses in some of the parables he teaches and so forth about the talents and so forth that we have, they're to be used. We're to be stewards of what God has given us. We're not to hoard it. We're not to use it so we get the glory or we get to do things our own way or our own agenda, but we're to use what he's given us to serve one another, among other reasons. Let me read here from Romans 12, some examples, verses 6 to 8. Paul says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. And that's understood different ways, but it also includes not just foretelling the future, but God speaking extemporaneously through people, and it can be in conversations and so forth. If service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation to push and admonish, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Now, any one of these things, people can, we're all called to serve, to give, and so forth, but some people have gifts in these areas where they're going to excel in ways that other people don't. And perhaps you've noticed that. You're like, wow, that person, they're very generous. Or that person, they're just very good at serving. They're very good at teaching. And maybe I can kind of do that, but I don't excel like that person. Well, maybe it's because they have gifts in those areas. And we should rejoice in that and so forth. Again, the question being, when we think about the spiritual gifts we have, do we think in terms of, am I being a good steward of the gifts that God has given me? And recognizing it comes from his grace, and I should use it to serve other people. Next, use our gifts to serve one another, speaking God's word. Here in verse 11, Peter, he kind of sums up all the gifts in two ways, speaking and serving. So I want to say a few words here about speaking. Some gifts have to do with speaking. Preaching and teaching would be obvious, but it's not limited to that. And here he says, verse 11, whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. So when we think about our spiritual gifts and any that involve verbal speaking and so forth, to do so, to make sure that we're doing so in line with the Word of God. And this, of course, is basic Christianity, but it's easy to get away from, especially if, you know, whether it's in our youth ministry or some type of outreach or even in our worship service where the Word of God's going to take a back seat because maybe it's not entertaining enough to get people's attention, or maybe it's a little bit too offensive, or maybe it's just kind of hard work to dig down deep into God's Word to better understand it so we can speak it and teach it and preach it. No, that's not what we want to do. We do want to work hard to engage the culture. We want to work hard to think deeply and ask ourselves, are we stepping out of our comfort zones and so forth to reach the world around us and not be locked in a certain way of doing things? But as we do that, to make sure that this, the Word of God, stays central and that we're devoted to it not only in our personal devotional life, but also that the Word of God dictates how we think, and then how we speak in general, and also in the spiritual gifts that God has given us that relate to speaking. Jump ahead to 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter says, for we did not, verse 16, did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter, one of the apostles and disciples, eyewitness of Jesus. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, he's talking about the transfiguration here, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. That would have been awesome. There's a day coming we'll get to see Jesus in that type of glory. But Peter, James, and John, they got to see Jesus transfigured. They got a foreshadow of the glory that's coming. But then he goes on to say, verse 19, and we have something more sure. The prophetic word to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. Now, scholars understand this different ways because Peter doesn't exactly elaborate on what does that mean that the prophetic word is more sure than his experience of the transfiguration. It could be that one of the principles that's often taught, rightly so, is that God's word should stand above our experience, because our experience is subjective and it's very important, but we need to not let our experience trump scripture. At the same time, what he might be saying is that because they witnessed Jesus transfigured, that adds, that confirms the truth of the Old Testament scriptures. That's kind of a detailed argument. But basically, he is, the point here being that he's emphasizing the sureness of the prophetic word. Going back to verse 11, whoever speaks, they should do so as one who speaks oracles of God. Speak in line with the word of God in general, and also as you use your spiritual gifts. If your gifts involve speaking, make sure it's in line with scripture. Do the hard work of digging down deep to know God's word, to correctly divide the word of truth, and to enjoy the hard work in the process. Then also he says in verse 11, and this brings us to serving in God's power. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Again, in one level, this is basic Christianity, but sometimes the basics we need to be reminded of. We are to live the Christian life in God's power. We are to die to self and say no to sin in God's power. We are to love one another in God's power. Here's another thing we're to do in God's power. Use our spiritual gifts to serve in God's power. So when we think about our spiritual gifts, we don't just think what I have and how to use my gifts, but to be reminded I should use my gifts in the power of the Holy Spirit through which God strengthens me. So I'm less likely to get worn out or lose my motivation. I'm also more likely to stay humble because I recognize I'm in way over my head, and it's ultimately God working through me and through the gifts that he's giving me. I serve in God's power. And it's joyful. It's refreshing. We're serving in God's power. And again, like with God's word, it includes a daily walk with Jesus, being focused on the word, praying in the fellowship of the church. That's part of how God's power comes, is when we're part of the fellowship of a church, when we're nurturing that relationship with Jesus. Also, serving with God's power, using our spiritual gifts with God's power, includes stepping out of our comfort zones, even within the gifts that he's given us. Normally, the spiritual gifts we have are going to coincide with a passion and a heart that we have. It comes naturally by God's grace. But even within that, our spiritual gifts, God has set it up so that we still are going to have to step outside of our comfort zones. I'll give you a personal example. I'm an introvert by nature. I don't know why then I became a pastor sometimes. If you know our previous pastor, Kerry Doyle, him and I, our personalities are not the same. He is an engaging, entertaining, passionate, fun person to talk to, or listen to, or both. He's fun on Facebook. He is a cool dude. Him and I are very different. I love hanging around him. He refreshes me. And so then when I think about, I think about Kerry, and I could use other people as an example. I just think, now there's a pastor. I mean, things just come very naturally to him that pastors need to be and pastors need to do. So then I think, okay, why is Marcus, this introverted person, pastoring? Before we went into the pastoral ministry and we were living in Chicago and I was working with the street ministry, we had some friends that strongly encouraged me to consider being a pastor. They thought I had a shepherd's heart. Thought that I had gifts of preaching and teaching, and you put those two together, maybe you should be a pastor. So better for better or worse, that's what happened. When I try to look at myself outside of myself and be as objective as possible, including listening to what other people have to say, I can recognize that, okay, amidst my being an introvert and whatever, I can see how God then puts me in a situation where he's gifted me, but I'm also way outside of my comfort zone. And then I have to lean and rely more on him. And then I'm much more likely, it's not a guarantee, but I'm much more likely to be depending on his power and be reminded of my dependency on the body of Christ. And hopefully less prideful and less of seeking glory for myself. So when we think about our spiritual gifts and serving in God's power, part of what that includes is being willing to step out of our comfort zone. And so our spiritual gifts, that should dictate where we're serving to some degree, but also recognize that doesn't mean that, oh, just because something's uncomfortable or I might be scared or I might prefer A over B. Just recognize, and we saw this, I think, last week, where Paul says, in my weakness, Christ is strong. So, anyways, hopefully that's encouraging to you. And it can be other things, too, within, you know, serving as a leader. I'm by nature more of a peacemaker than a someone who likes to confront. That can be a blessing. But then when you need to lead and you know people aren't going to be happy, that can be more difficult. So there's all kinds of things that go with our gifts. God puts us in situations to use that fit the gifts we have and our hearts. But it doesn't mean we just choose what we might like the most. And it doesn't mean we should run or avoid the more difficult, uncomfortable situations. Last key thought. Use our gifts to serve one another to glorify God through Jesus Christ. Again, this is, in one sense, basic Christianity, perhaps 102. 101, we come to Christ. 102, live for God's glory. But understanding what that means and how to live it out might be a 900-level doctoral class. Verse 11. After talking about God's varied grace, the gifts that he gives us, and speaking God's word, serving in God's power with the strength he provides, Peter says, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Thinking about the gifts we have, why we have them, what we're using them for, to bear in mind that as we recognize it comes from God's grace, it's to be under the lordship of Christ, and it's through the Holy Spirit, as we work together as a body, if we're doing it with that mindset, God should be getting the glory. And we should remind ourselves that that is his purpose. That's his goal. We serve a God-centered God. And that's a good thing, because when God's not at the center, bad things happen. That's why we have the fall. God was not kept at the center. Adam and Eve's eyes got off onto other things. And there's multiple things that went with that. But things are good and great for us when God is at the center and he's getting the glory. We have spiritual gifts. Are we using them? And as we use them, let's every now and then kind of think through. Maybe God has something new for me to do or whatever. Maybe I'm not actively serving in my church. Is there a way that I can do so? Let me also say that when we think about in terms of working together as a body, we can go through seasons of life where maybe where God has planted us, or maybe we're taking care of family members, or maybe we have added responsibilities in our lives, so we don't have as much time to serve as someone else, at least in the context of our local church. That's good. We're glad that you're here. That's the body of Christ working together. So that sometimes other people are stepping up during certain seasons when maybe you're not able to for various reasons. Maybe it's a health reason. Maybe it's because you're going the extra mile at work, or you're going the extra mile taking care of a loved one, or you're going the extra mile, you're involved in something in the community, and you are witnessing and you're taking the presence of Christ in a way other people are not. It's the beauty of the body of Christ. But that through it all, we're thinking, we know we have spiritual gifts. We're seeking to know what those are and how to use them by being a part of the body of Christ, asking for godly counsel, being active in serving, and as we step out and serve, God guides and directs us. And we do it in God's strength according to God's word so that he gets the glory. And then through it all, as we're using our spiritual gifts, among other things, here's one thing that's happening. You and I are getting encouraged. Because the gifts of the body are being used to build one another up. Amen. Let's pray.